Hello, everybody, and welcome to the penultimate episode of South of King's Landing, but the episode about the season finale, show finale of Game of Thrones. My name's Dylan Blight, and joining me, as always, Ashley Hobley.
Hey, Dylan. Excited to be here to talk about this episode that is just universally loved and wraps everything up perfectly.
I've got to be honest, we're recording this one the earliest we have of this whole season. So, like, not a couple hours, an hour and a half, whatever it is after the episode's aired, right? It's the earliest we've ever recorded. So I haven't had as much time to see the Twitter reaction because I've been too busy, like, the show prep. So
yep.
Would you say it's worse or bit better than last week? Because I don't really know.
Feel like it's mostly negative. But it's only really the angry people who get on Twitter and say they're angry first, you know?
That's true. That is true. That is usually the way stuff works. So, this week's episode, the show finale of Game of Thrones, we believe, we haven't got 100% confirmation for the name even, we believe at this point the episode's title is The Iron Throne, and it was directed by David Benioff and D.B. Wise, and also written by those two as well. Ash, what did you think of the season finale, show finale of one of the biggest shows of all time, at least for the last 10 years, Game of Thrones? What do you think?
It was all right. There was some stuff that was clearly rushed, particularly the stuff with Danny at the start. It's like they just breezed through that really quickly. but yeah, there were moments that I really enjoyed. I enjoyed the Tyrion Jon talk. And then, yeah, it felt very satisfying at the end. I think they closed it in a good way. So overall, positive on the episode.
I feel like that's the most negative, even though you're like, that's positive on the episode. I feel like that's the most negative you've been on any episode this entire season.
Is it? No,
I feel like it is. Usually you're like, yeah, it was good.
Maybe last week. I don't
know. Even last week, you was like, yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Finales are hard. Let's just throw it out there.
Finales.
There is a very small number of finales that everybody is happy with.
Name them.
Breaking Bad.
I don't think everyone was. I remember when Breaking Bad finale aired, I remember seeing Twitter being pissed off from my memory.
Really?
Whether now people hold it as this big thing on a platform, at the time I recall seeing a lot of people pissed off with the ending. So it's like how time can often age and change the way you view something. So
right. Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Great.
That's it. That's the two shows. I would say my overall thoughts on the episode were meh, a big old shrug. Like, okay, I guess I wasn't. I'm not like viciously angry about it, much like I wasn't last week either. But at the same time, I suppose I would sum up my feelings on the episode as I am disappointed. You know, there's no way to really go about it. I am disappointed. You know, it's a lot of time to invest in something, blah, 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 blah. Am I going to be signing any petitions to have it rewritten? No, because I'm not a fucking idiot. But there was a lot of stuff I did like. And I'll happily point out the things I enjoyed the most, because there were things I do like. And there are also, much like last week's episode with the thing of Dany coming into being the Mad Queen, there were things where I'm like, that's cool. But the way they've gone about doing it and how we've got here is not good. And it's much like last week, a lot of my problems with the episode is I don't really mind that as a concept, but the way in which we've got here, I'm just like, No, it just feels rushed or sloppy. Very sloppy, I suppose, is the way I'd sum up this finale. A rushed, sloppy finale. But when it came down to it, I enjoyed the last 5 minutes, the montage thing, and then it ends. I'm like, at first my reaction is, oh, it's a bit disappointing. But then I was enjoying those last couple of minutes. And I was like, oh, this is all right. And then you try and be like, well, it's about the journey, not the
Maybe it's about the friends that we found along the way.
Yeah, it's that too. So yeah, I don't really know. Like if he was like, give me a number for the finale. I think I don't really know at this age. It's an episode. It's fine. It's definitely not going. Yeah. It's not going to ruin.
It's an execution issue that you have with it, not so much.
Yes, but at this stage,
a story issue or.
Maybe a couple story things. I'm not really sure. We'll tackle them one by one.
We'll tackle them as we go.
Let's get into it. So the episode opens with Tyrion walking down the streets, seeing the destruction of King's Landing. You get to see him walking past a bunch of dead bodies all over the floor, everywhere, destruction, mayhem. Some dude walks past him who's basically all burnt up and scarred and stuff.
Music, by the way.
Yeah, no, it was very, nice very touch. Silent.
Very silent.
Very silent to the point that my brother's incessant drinking noises next to me, he was watching the episode with me and slurping off his coffee, was quite fucking annoying because the episode was so quiet and I was like, can you just shut the fuck up. So eventually,
stop it down.
Eventually Tyrion reaches a point where he tells John and Davos, who were following along behind him as well. He says he's going to go on ahead without them. John says, takes a man. He says, nah, I'm good. I'm going to go on the line. Tyrion then heads up to the keep and down into the secret section, whatever thing that Jaime.
Basement.
I suppose it is basement. That Jaime says he would have headed through to get to their way out. Obviously, he's looking to find out a sign or anything to see, I suppose in his mind, he's like, if the boat's gone, they're gone, right? You know, like kind of a sign that his brother's made it out okay, I guess, is what he's looking for. He climbs over a bunch of debris in the first caved-in section and then makes it into a section where he finds a bunch of debris covering his brother and sister's body, and then he cries over that. I 100% presume just for Jaime, and he's like, Cersei, whatever. You're like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Very well acted.
Maybe a little bit.
I don't know. But either way, very well acted. Well, this whole episode is very well acted by a lot of people. That's not something I can really argue about. It's got some really great acting by many actors in it, but this scene, of course, like kind of sets up the... And once again, it's like, if you're doing the last episode, got to go a bit here. Make sure you get acting chops on. Peter Dinklage has won... Did he win? He's won Oscars, Emmys for this already, hasn't he? So
yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's won for this and been nominated several times at least. So... yeah, there's a chance for he's like, give me the last Emmy. So I thought that was a great performance, and it's a bit sad, I guess. You get to see Jaime and Cersei for one last second as well, in case you were wondering if they somehow survived the rock cave-in stuff.
No, definitely did not.
Yeah, do you have anything to say about this whole play out brother scene?
It was fine. I mean, you would expect there'd be more rubble. It would be completely unable to get through.
I thought the whole thing, but yeah, nonetheless.
Yeah, I thought just the keep in general was completely fucked over. There was nothing you could do.
I thought it was a lot worse than...
A lot worse, yeah.
...than what they got, which was, maybe you could have dodge rolled out of the way of that. I don't know, like... maybe you could have missed it. So, John and Davos, though, continue through the city, and they eventually bump into Grey Worm, and who is about to execute a bunch of prisoners, I guess, what you call them, or whatever, the Lannister people who have given up, obviously. John tries to stop them, but Grey Worm wasn't having it, and he's like, oh, my queen ordered this, you know, we're killing them all, blah, 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 blah. John puts his hand on Grey Worm at one point, and then everyone raises their swords, and then Davos tells John to just leave it. We got to head on and continue on to go talk to Daenerys. At this point, as well, Arya is arriving in the main part of the city where we see Dany's army is gathered. Dothraki and Salad washed her face along the way. And also, she somehow got rid of the horse, which straight away I was just like, the horse, it was the end of the episode. And that's like the big cliffhanger of the previous episode. And then the internet spent a week going like, she's the rider, like the white horse. She's the rider of death. The little girl's holding a horse. What does this horse mean? Nothing.
Well, we can get into it later.
It doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't matter. The horse isn't there. Like, she doesn't kill anyone this whole episode or anything. So she was not the bringer of
death. Doesn't she?
She doesn't. Who do you
not directly?
She doesn't kill she doesn't kill anyone.
She's the first one to tell John that she needs to kill the king, the queen.
No, I don't think that's what she's the bringer of death by the word. I don't think her saying that didn't do shit. It wasn't until Tyrion went on about it, as far as I'm concerned, that they made any change to his thoughts about it.
She put the seed in there. That's why he went to see Tyrion in the first place.
No, he would have gone and seen Tyrion nonetheless. Come on now.
No.
The horse thing was a bunch of bullshit. So Arya walks up and she's, as we saw in the preview for this episode, she's like looking for all the soldiers and stuff and looking up to see what's going on. And then Jon walks through the Dothraki army, the Unsullied army, who are all gathering up here, as we much saw in the trailer for last week as well, where everyone's just kind of gathering and waiting for Dany to come down. Grey Worm has somehow got to the top of the stairs and beat Jon up there.
I guess he was like doing a bigger lap around. I don't know.
Jon's like,
he's not from King's. He hasn't been to King's Landing before, so
yeah. I don't know. As soon as I saw Grey Worm appear, I was like, motherfucker, we just passed you. Like, and Jon was going straight to go speak to Dany. So
that's what it was.
I was like, come on. Then Dany flies in on Drogon. And lands up as John's walking up the stairs, and as the camera kind of comes up from the top of the stairs, we get, I think, one of my favorite shots of the entire season. And
one of the best shots of the series.
All the series, as itself, I would say. One thing about the episode, I cannot deny how cool this shot was. Very symbolic as well, of course, with Dany as she's walking forward, and then the wings of Drogon span out behind her, like it makes it look like Danny's got these wings, and then the dragon takes off. But for that split second, you have her wearing these, the devil wings, I suppose, if you want to call them that. It's very, that was a very cool and symbolic shot. And I gotta say, most of my problems with the episode come after all of this stuff. I didn't mind all of the first half of the episode. I didn't mind really, because at this point, my complaints about last week's episode aside. You know, like how fast we got Dany to the Mad Queen. I'm like, I'm not going to spend this episode still complaining about that because that's futile. So now I'll just accept where we are and kind of go with it, of course. So I was like, I like the way they're fucking making it. Like, this is fucked up. Like, she's evil. Look, she's got these wings. You know, so everything about this I was quite liking. You know, having Tyrion get down there and see that Dany calls the death of his brother and all these things. I'm like, okay, where are we going with this? Let's get there. This is all good. So then Dany walks to the edge of the stairs and gives this massive speech. I'm mental blanking on her fucking name. What's the actress's name? Emilia Clarke. Thank you. She walks to the edge of the thing, gives this massive speech in Dothraki Dothraki, right? I guess
whatever the other language is.
Or what? High Valyrian, whatever it is.
Whatever they can understand.
Yeah. Not English. She walks to the edge, and gives this massive speech, which, once again, really great performance. Emilia Clarke has always had this thing about really selling these war speeches, I guess, in another language. And that's definitely a skill that she's got, because she really sells them, considering it's a fictional language, especially, you know. Yeah. It's like she really sells it as if she's just saying it. And this was definitely one of her best, or if not her most threatening one, especially because she gets to play into the, you know, she's the villain now, so she's up there and she's giving this speech. And it's not like previous speeches we've had with her where it's very, fuck yeah, Dany, like, let's go. It's very like, oh God, help us all, you know. So I'm glad that as short-lived as villainous Dany is, really, that we don't get much time with her, that we do get this one speech where it's like she's looking out over at people and just talking about, we're going to take back all these other cities, we're going to take back the world. But you know, much like how Jon's kind of looking at her, and you know other people thinking the same thing, like Tyrion walks in, stands by Jon, starts listening to this nonsense she's saying about liberating the world, but you look at what she considers liberating, which is the dusk and rubble and flames around her, and they're like, well, if that's what you classify as liberation, we may be on different terms when it comes to saving the world, you know? So, definitely sets her up as it's like she's past redemption, I guess. They really had to sell her as being past redemption for this episode to work somewhat. She then names Grey Worm the commander of her arms, or Master of Arms or whatever it is.
War Commander.
Yeah, and then when she finishes giving the speech, Tyrion walks up and stands by her side. She then mutters to him about how he committed treason by setting Jaime free. And then he's like, well, you know, not really much compared to killing all of these people that are laying dead around the streets, is it? And then he takes off his Hand of the Queen pin and kind of chucks it down the stairs. And then the army of Unsullied, who had been chanting along with their sticks at this point, kind of just stop. It's like, oh, shit. Shit's going down. And then she orders him to... I was kind of first like, is he just going to get burnt? Like, holy, that's what a way to go out. But Dany orders him to be taken away. And, yeah, he's taken away by the Unsullied guards. And Dany heads off. And then John kind of watches her take off. And they share a look of... not happiness.
What the
hell? Yeah. Like, definitely not... yeah, we definitely wouldn't call it a happy look at all. And then Arya arrives by John's side because she has super Jedi fast sprinting speeds and just got up there real fast. And then
ninja speeds.
Yeah. And then those two talk about for a second about, like, John's like, why are you here? Arya says, I came here to kill Cersei, but your queen did it. And then she basically just warns John that if they hang, you know, who's her biggest threat now? It's you, John, idiot. And then John's like, you know, wait outside the walls, I'll fix this, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, no, you're fucked. You're fucked, mate.
Yeah.
You're up shit creating.
I know a killer when I see one.
Yes. No, yes.
Yeah.
I know a killer. Because she's like, I am.
So, as death, you need to kill her first. That's what she was subtly Jedi mind tricking.
Stop trying to sell me on this. The metaphor, the horse thing was a waste. It was completely wasted. You're not going to sell me on it. Oh, but Dylan, she still counts because she was the one who mentioned it first. Is that how it works? So John, we then cut to a scene. John walks in to Tyrion in the hold up, and the two of them talk about Dany and how she's obsessed with the idea of war now, basically, which was, I guess, I didn't mind because as I was talking about last week, you know, like saying about Dany and being like, you know, you often wonder how she could just come in and rule peacefully after she spent basically her whole life just violently coming in, taking over places and all these sorts of things. So,
yeah.
And Tyrion, much says a similar sort of thing. Like, look what she's done throughout her life. She comes in, she takes over places, she kills a bunch of people she deems evil. She goes to another place, kills a bunch of people she deems evil, goes on, goes off. And now that she's come here, she's killed the people she's deemed evil. And in her mind, she thinks that she's righteous and that she's right and she's not doing anything wrong. But that's the problem. At some point, she's crossed the line and she doesn't even realize it. So it's just all one big muddled mess, and she has no idea what's really right from wrong other than whatever she deems right is right now, I guess, is basically what they're talking about. And then, you know, Tyrion says, I know you love her. I love her too. Not as successful as you, but I believed in her with all my heart. Love is more powerful than reason. We all know that. Look at my brother. And then John follows up with love is death of duty. Tyrion then tells John that he has to kill Dany, and John says that he can't do it because she's the queen. And he's like, well, she'll probably kill you. And he's like, well, if that's what the queen wills, then kind of so be it. And then Tyrion begs for a little bit more, and then John heads out the door and leaves him there. And at this point, I'd just like to think Tyrion's just like sitting there like, you don't know what's going to happen. It's like either John changes his mind if it helps fix the situation or something, or you're just fucked, I guess. But I suppose he doesn't really care at this point, considering he was the one who basically walked up to Danny's side and was like, I'm going to have my last say here and face the consequences of whatever happens. So then John...
Great scene.
Those two?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. Once again, Peter Dinklage. But Kit Harington was fine, as far as I'm concerned. I don't really feel like Kit Harington...
Yeah.
Did anything particularly special for me this episode. I'm not saying he was bad. I'm just saying he was just Kit Harington. Yeah, he's Jon Snow. He was fine.
Well, he didn't have much to do. Brood.
Yeah. No. Yeah,
a few words.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas Tyrion, Peter Dinklage, again in the scene, is trying to really emphasize and sell something, and I really enjoyed him. So Jon leaves, and then
filled in the rationale completely for last week.
Of why what? She went
of her going and killing everybody.
Well, the problem wasn't the problem wasn't us being able to kind of piece together why and how she could potentially get to that place. More, the problem has always been that the show just made it happen and then expected us all to
remember everything
to piece it all together and just be like, oh, her mind just suddenly flicked there. It's that's what I'm saying. Like her going to being the Mad Queen, no one, I don't feel like most people really have a problem with, because most people understand that that makes sense and was kind of coming. Most people's problem, from what I understand, and my problem was just how it happened and execution of it. So yeah, him being like, this is how it happened. I'm like, yeah, I'm aware that's how she got there. But still doesn't make last week's episode of her getting there particularly work better for me, just because you explain what I already understood, Tyrion, you know? So John then walks up and he walks. This is one of my favorite shots of the episode. John walking up to this door, and you just see the snow start moving. And then it's Drogon who's covered in all this snow, and she kind of shakes it off, and him and John face off for a second.
It's Ash.
Yeah. Or Ash, I suppose. Yeah, you're right. And then there's that long shot of them two just like facing each other from a distance, like that shot. Yeah. Oh, I thought was another really great shot of the episode. So then John walks into the throne room where Dany is oaring over her new chair. So it's like, yes, the chair is still, we was wondering last week, of course, does the chair survive the absolute destruction that she caused? And survived until at least now. So John walks in, and she starts talking about the history of the chair a bit, about how her brother told her, you know, all these swords, and she pictured it would be so much bigger as a 12-year-old, and blah, 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 blah. Real nonchalant about the whole situation, considering there's murdered innocents and everything. You know, like, there's people everywhere dead, destruction and mayhem.
Yeah.
And she's talking like, oh, look at this old joke. I thought the chair would be bigger, but it's my chair now. Ha ha. So then John just cuts her off and starts talking about, you know, basically shouting at her and be like, you know, why are prisoners being executed in the streets? Why are all these murdered children littering the streets and all these things? And Dany says, well, they got my way. Cersei tried to use them against me and I wasn't having it. So too bad, right. Basically.
Doesn't make sense. You'd already won.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. That's the thing. It's absolute nonsense. She's
it's her own rationale. Yeah.
Yeah, in her mind, it makes perfect sense, and that's why she's mad, I guess, is the thing.
It's why she's nonchalant about everything.
Yeah, and John starts asking for Tyrion to be forgiven. She says no. She starts talking about, you know, making the world a better place and stuff. He starts talking about a world of mercy, forgiving Tyrion, forgiving other people. She says that's not the way you rule. He says, there's got to be mercy in the world or else what's the point, basically? Like, what are we building towards? The two of them then embrace, and John says that Dany will be and always is going to be his queen, and then he stabs her right in the gut.
Yep.
When it happened, was you shocked or was you like, oh, you saw it coming kind of thing?
Oh, I was a little bit surprised. I mean, didn't you just stab her like that? But... yeah, it worked. I think the other thing that she said was that she knows what's good, and then kind of shuts everybody else off.
John was like, how do you know what's good or whatever? And she's like, I know what's good, and so do you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very delusional. Kind of disappointing she doesn't say anything after she gets stabbed, but maybe there's nothing left to say, I guess.
I suppose what do you say? You?
Yeah.
Motherfucker? I don't know. Like, I loved you.
She died awfully quickly from a stab wound to the gut.
Also, I think they overplayed the stab wound to the gut a bit. Like, she starts bleeding out her eyes and her mouth and all these sorts of things.
That doesn't seem realistic.
I was like, you got stabbed in the gut, lady. You didn't get fucking Joffrey poisoned over here. You just bleed out your gut like a normal person, I guess.
People survive from gut stabbings.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It
takes a while for that to go...
There's a lot more dramatic with the bleeding and every place and all these sorts of things.
Even that they had to speed up, so.
Yeah, they're like, we can't wait for her to bleed out the gut. She won't die fast enough. We need her to bleed out her face and her eyes and her ears and everything. How do you expect her to die fast enough in this? We've only got one episode, people. She needs to die.
It was a special knife.
But whatever
you need. Poison-ish dagger, I don't know.
Whatever you need to fanfic to
make it. There's going to be a lot of fanficing.
Make it make more sense. So he lays her body down and begins crying over her body for a bit. And you start hearing the dragon wings flapping around the background, and Drogon then flies in. And this whole scene was, that's, I think, equally silly and equally also like, oh, which was here, like Drogon coming in and trying to wake up his mum, basically being like, are you awake? You know, like a puppy being like,
that was sad.
Trying to move her body. That was sad. And I like that. And then I did find it a bit silly that the dragon would then get so annoyed and be like, well, she came all the way here for this throne, so I'm gonna burn this down. I'm gonna burn.
Well, he wasn't aiming at the throne at first,
but he purposely burns the throne down. Like it's
well, very he evident. Wants to destroy something.
We should have killed Jon. What?
No, but Jon's like a dad, sort of.
No, not really.
Targaryen blood.
Yeah. He's known Jon for about 2 weeks, I think.
But he senses the Targaryen blood. That's why he didn't. Kill him when he first walked
in. I guess
in.
So. But I just find the idea of the dragon purposely being like, she came here all the way for this throne, so I'm going to burn it down. I'm like, the dragon is a dragon. It's, at no point in this show did it try. They try and make out like the dragon's got a more smarter, you know, like brain. Like it's an animal. The dragon is an animal. The dragon's not going to be like, she yeah, came here to get this throne.
It doesn't have any rationale. It just knows has a credible sense of symbolism.
Yeah, it's symbolism, but plot-wise... didn't make much sense to me. I was like, this is a bit silly.
That's what dragons do. They make
I would have rather him... You could do the same sort of thing, like get to the throne being destroyed symbolically without having the dragon purposely be like, I'm going to just destroy this because reasons.
I guess he could have just picked up...
He could have just
spat picked her up it. And then knocked it out of the building.
No, he could have just got... Out. He could have been filled with rage and he started breathing fire up, down, left, right, all around the room. And then at the same time, he...
Well, he was doing it forward and then he just lowered it a little bit to take out the throne.
He purposely aimed for the throne, though. If he was just burning everything, I would have been more okay with it.
He didn't want to hurt any more people.
Oh, my God.
You know, he only had so much fire left because he'd been using it all the day before.
I don't think that's how the fire banks work.
Haven't you seen How to Train Your Dragon? There's only a certain number of shots.
Yeah.
Then they run out.
Mm. So yeah, after the Iron Throne melts away, Drogon picks up Dany in his claw. Arm. I don't know, whatever. And they take off into the sunset.
Into the day.
Yeah. Off they go. So then we skip ahead. Which I'd like to just kind of briefly talk about for a second, because when we get the shot of Tyrion with his beard bigger and I'm like, okay, so we've obviously skipped ahead weeks, a month even, you know, like how, like not a year or 2 years, but obviously like several weeks or maybe a month or something like that, because Tyrion's beard's grown to be a lot bigger. I'm like, why couldn't we have other points in this show just done time jumps? Because as much as I don't like just doing, being like, oh, time jump, things happen for reason, but it would have helped slightly with other issues throughout this season, like time jump.
But we did have time jumps.
Yeah, but they never really make it as visually obvious and explain as they do here.
Yep, in every single time they should just have in the corner 2 weeks later.
I would have 100% gone for it. I would have 100% gone for it. Because sometimes I'm just like, even if you had Dany rule for longer before Jon did that, you know, like I would have preferred, even on like a character thing, of them just to skip ahead some time. And then there's prisoners still being murdered. There's still just, you know, like, and him, it grows on him. He doesn't make the decision walking out of Tyrion's cell straight across the road. You know, I don't know. At times I'm like, just having a time jump, even though I feel like it's a sloppy storytelling mechanic at times, depending on how you use it. They use it here and I'm like, you could have used it before just to add a little bit more emphasis, or you could have used more time jumps to even build up the freaking Mad Queen Dany thing. Like, just jump ahead a fucking year even and be like, oh, look, she's the you don't really know what happened in a year, but she got mad. I'm like, okay, well, it's been a year. Like, maybe that would have helped.
Well, then they would have consolidated their power, you know?
I don't know, but just
they had to take him out as soon as he could. Maybe. You know? Well, it was fresh in his memory.
So
to all those people.
Grey Worm leads Tyrion out of his cell to meet up with the lords and ladies of the land in the meeting place from last season, which
was the old dragon pits.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if it has an actual. I'm sure it does have an actual name in the show that they called it at some point, but I just don't remember. But yeah, so they're all meeting up there. So you've got all the Starks. You've got fucking
all the lords and ladies of the realm. All the
lords and ladies. You've got the Greyjoys. You've got the Dawn dude who. We don't know, but we're like, that's apparently the new Prince of Dawn, I guess. Like
he's wearing the colors of
he's
Dawn.
Wearing the colors. You've got the grown up Tywell. No, whatever that kid is. The one who
from the his, twins.
Yeah, his
or
mum.
The Vale. That's it.
The Vale. Yeah, like the Robin. The grown up. Yeah, Robin. The grown up Robin's there and stuff. So you've got all the lords and stuff from the land here. And then Grey Worm brings up Tyrion and they're all talking about basically John at first, and Sansa's asking for the release of her brother, and Grey Worm's like, nah, get fucked. And then she's like, Grey Worm this whole episode, also, I have a problem with Grey Worm. I feel like they're like, Dany went evil, so now Grey Worm went evil, and they really wanted you to dislike him all of a sudden as an audience member too, for it to fit to the story. But I'm like, but I didn't dislike him. And now I'm suddenly being forced to like dislike him.
He was just doing what he was told, and now he's, you know, he's got nobody to tell him what to do. It's kind of weird. That's not a position they've ever meant to be in. So.
I don't know. I felt like the build up between him hating John the last couple of episodes and then this, I was like, it just felt purpose. But so we're built to believe that, by the way, this, at this point when they cut, right? So this point where they cut to this time jump stuff happening, this is where I think the episode goes majorly downhill. For me personally, not just for like what happens story wise, but also just weird pacing and all these sorts of things. And even the transition from John like laying there as Danny's like carried off and then transitioning into just Tyrion being let out of the cell into them all there. It's just very much like what the fuck is going on? Like what happened? We just had this very big scene that they want you to be very emotional about, you know, the way Danny's like eyes are all bleeding and all these sorts of things. They want people who are in love with that character to be like sobbing on their couches watching this episode. And there's just this weird cut to, and we're all just talking about who, what the fuck's going on. No one's really, it was weird pacing wise. And just,
what would you have done differently? I don't think there's any way you could avoid that. The episode's got to keep moving. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Have another episode. This is the thing. A lot of the problems are obviously, yeah, if there's more episodes, there's more time. But obviously, if there's more episodes, you could have seen John get arrested. You could have seen more of the politics of Sansa, yeah, and all these, absolutely, all the lords getting together. Or and what
that would have been the end about of the last then, episode.
Yeah, and then there's also like, they arrive at the city, like King's Landing somehow. There's other questions I had that are brimming, obviously, with like, okay, fair enough, Grey Worm can control the Unsullied and be like, we're just going to hold the city basically as a fort, and we're sitting here until we can sort out what we're going to do, is basically how you're supposed to take it. But then I'm like, what the fuck are the Dothraki doing? Because the Dothraki are animals, right? They're fucking animals.
Whoa.
They're not listening to, there's no way they're listening to Grey Worm. They would be running around doing whatever the fuck they want. And they love Danny. So there's no way that, as much as Grey Worm would have been like, listen, we're not going to go too crazy because that might fuck, like we may all get killed as well. The Dothraki would be like, they, like our queen's dead. They would have been just been killing everyone. I reckon they would have been just running around on a rampage. Like they see people approaching the city, like Sansa's army or whatever, and all that, the other armies from all these other lords and ladies like approaching the city for this meeting. There's no way in my mind, and I don't buy it, that the Dothraki are like, all right, let them pass. We're very political about the whole situation. The Dothraki are the complete opposite of political. They would be like, no, fuck that. Like we're going to go out there and kill them all.
I don't know. I think they've been playing nice this last two seasons. So
because maybe Danny was their leader. I still don't think they changed. They were just willing. They were following Daenerys, who was their, you know, what they call her? Khaleesi? Yeah, Khaleesi. That's the word. I fucking forgot what even the word was. We spent so many seasons with the whole Khaleesi thing and then we kind of forgot. They dropped it and we kind of forgot about it. But yeah, this hard cut and I'm like, how'd they get in here and all these, is everything okay? It's just, I didn't like it. So then they get the whole speech, and Grey Worm's like, yeah, we're holding John. Sansa's like, release John. They're like, blah, 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 blah. Let's not have any more fights. Davos is like, there should be no more fighting. Like, do you want 100,000 more people to die over this war? Like, it's time for us just to sort it out and get peace started, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So then Tyrion says that for them to sort it out, the king or queen should decide what to do with John and him and how to solve the situation too, which everyone's kind of just saying, well, yeah, that'd be nice, but we don't have a king or queen, obviously. So then Tyrion tells them all that they should pick one. And then Sam proposes that...
Wait, no. Edmund Tully gets up.
Oh, yeah, I completely forgot about this.
In the best piece of comic relief in the episode.
I thought it was weird, though. It didn't work for me. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because everybody knew he was the worst possible choice.
Is that what he was trying to do? Pitch himself?
Yeah, that's what he was like... I know. Giving his resume, and then everybody's like, sit down.
All I knew is he got up, he started talking, and I'm like, what are you? I thought he was about to pitch someone, but I didn't know who, and I in my notes, I wrote down some, I can't remember word for word, I have to look at my phone, but my notes wrote, some character who I can't remember is, stands up and speaks, and then gets called to sit down by Sansa. I had no idea who he is, I completely forgot.
Yep.
Edward Tully.
Yeah, he's the guy that got married at the Red Wedding.
Oh, yes. See, I recognize his face, but yeah. I completely forgot who or what, why his relevance was to anything.
I think that's his name anyway. I think I've heard it somewhere else.
And if I couldn't remember,
I was talking.
There was at least a couple hundred thousand people across the world who couldn't remember who the fuck that person was. So yeah, the scene was just, to me, it was like, I don't know. I'm sure it's supposed to be funny, but I don't really get why or who this person is. So it's not working for me. Yeah, so then Sam proposes democracy, basically, and he says, well, the best way for us to pick who should be ruling over the people is to ask the people. And then everyone laughs him off and says, oh, well, maybe I should get my fucking ask my horse to vote too. And I thought that was a bit of a weird thing. I'm like, I don't know. I don't get what this is trying to say.
It's a little bit unrealistic in this setting to have.
I was like, I get
to have a voting,
but isn't voting
even hasn't been invented yet.
It's a fantasy world. They can do whatever the fuck they want. They can invent voting and democracy in Game of Thrones. I don't buy that argument as well, because it's the same argument that people use when there's like still racism and, you know, all these sorts of things. We did have black characters in our show that features dragons and trolls and other things because it's not realistic to the setting. Motherfucker, your setting is magical fantasy land. It is not a period piece drama. You can have a more varied cast, and you can have fucking democracy, because it's you can invent this if you want to. It's not held to the standards of what's quote unquote realistic when you just had someone a fucking undead army and dragons and all this sort of shit. Well, you can't have democracy. That's ridiculous. Don't be silly, Dylan.
And lords and ladies wouldn't want democracy because they want to keep power to themselves. So that's why they laughed it off.
I'm fine with that being the explanation. I did think it was just a bit of a weird scene because I felt so bad for Sam. I'm like, he's right though. But Sam's right.
I don't know. I feel like it was a little bit of a swerve. People expected it to be like, oh, they're going to become America.
No. Well, I think.
Tiny swerve.
In the world, I think what people have deemed in like theories, and this ties into like the Arya stuff later, is that what's west of Westeros would be technically the America of Westeros, because people have kind of placed it, but nonetheless. So the Tyrion, this is the part, I think out of everything that happens in this whole show, this will be the part where either people were like, okay, or were like, yeah, that's works, or I fucking hate this show. This is the moment, I feel like, definitely. So Tyrion then starts talking about, Grey Worm will fucking... No, I don't even remember who asked him. Someone's like, what do you think, Ben Tyrion? Or whatever. And he's like, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start walking around and I'm going to give a speech. And by God, does he try and act
He's going to give a classic Jeff Winger speech.
By God, does Peter Dinklage be like, I've really got to act this scene off to sell what's about to go down. Because he starts talking about how, you know, what's better than flags and armies and... What brings us all together better than all of that money, gold, Stories. Stories bring people better together than anything else. And that's why Bran should be the king, because he knows our history and he's the keeper of our history. And not just that, but also I declare right now as a prisoner that from now on, we should no longer continue the family lineage of the kings and queens. What we should do is always vote on the lords and ladies of each house should gather and vote who should be the next king or queen whenever one dies or passes or what have you.
Yeah.
And that'll start with Bran because he's unable to bear heirs. So he should be the start of that. And that's how we're going to start the new lineage of the future of Westeros. And then everyone for a moment thinks, and then they all go around and they all say, I vote yes. Sansa being the mild exception, saying that the North will stay as an independent kingdom, much like it was thousands of years prior to all of this or something.
They won't bend the knee to Bran, even though he's a Stark. Feels a little bit selfish.
Also note that Bran earlier this season, when asked about being the Lord of Winterfell, said, no, wouldn't do that. No, I couldn't do that.
He also said he didn't want to be king, so.
Yeah. So they'll vote him in. Sansa says, yes, independent. And then it's all settled.
And everybody's okay with that? It's kind of weird.
Yeah. All hail Bran the Broken, which I thought was a bad name. Yeah,
that was very amusing to me, but
I don't think that's a good name. I don't think that's a good name at all. Lord of the Six Kingdoms.
The way Bran, Tyrion was selling him was he was a cripple who fell out of a tower, but somehow managed to go past the wall and have all these important adventures, become an incredible figure.
The symbolic thing is supposedly,
even if you are broken, you can become stronger. You know, like a. Just like Sansa said the other way.
He gets pushed out of a tower and then only to reach the top of one by the end of the show. It's supposed to be, I guess, the story there. He's pushed out of a tower and he climbed that. Yeah. And yeah. So, yeah. Bran is king.
Yep.
How do you feel?
It's fine. I mean, it wasn't a surprise because if you'd been looking at like any of like the betting and odds and that sort of thing, Brandon would have been the favorite for like.
I have not looked at any of that stuff and I didn't look at any of the.
No,
the
like I've seen it on social media and different stories, but no. Yeah, he'd been the favorite like for several weeks now.
Yeah, you know why? It's because apparently.
People within the crew were like placing some bets down.
It's because a couple weeks ago, all these leaks came out for this episode and the one prior. So. And people didn't think they were legit, apparently. I was reading this just after the episode aired because I was like, I'm going to look at that Reddit thread now. the Reddit thread was, I don't know how it got out. It seems so weird that a show this big could leak, but someone posted stuff that would happen for episode 5 and 6. And originally when it was posted a couple of weeks ago, everyone was like, this is bullshit because it just sounds so absurd because it ended with Danny turning mad and burning down the King's Landing and Brandon being king. People originally were like, this is bullshit because it just sounds so fake. But then after everything that they said would happen in episode 5 happened last week, everyone went back to that thread and was like, oh shit. If they got that right, then the episode 6 stuff must be true, which is probably why I reckon all of a sudden a lot more people started voting for in these things you're talking about, being like, oh, who's going to end up on the throne? It's probably going to be Brett. All these people are like, I'm just guessing. I haven't looked at a Reddit thread at all predicting who would end up on the throne. No.
$1,000.
Yeah, here, take $1,000. Put on Brett. Exactly. Yeah, so I reckon that's why those increased, because there was a
good on news for exploiting the system.
Sure. I will admit 100% that last week at some point I was like, do I look? Do I not look? And I'm like, no, I'm not ruining the last episode just...
Yeah,
like I've gone all these years. I'm like, I'm not ruining it. I 100% admit there was at least a little bit of temptation just to raid ahead, but no. I don't know. Bran is king is something that, like, this is the thing. I'm never going to read the books, But I want to read like a condensed summary because someone will post one.
Yeah.
Not a Wikipedia page, but someone will post like a condensed, like, here's what happens in the book type of thing. And I'm like, maybe Bran being king as an idea, I'm not against. I'm not for. No. I'm not against. I'm just like, okay, maybe. But I feel like the show definitely didn't sell me on the idea. It didn't get there. This whole scene just plays out really weird also. And I just think it's, this whole scene is comedic to me. I actually laughed out loud at some point because I thought this entire scene was so stupid and so weird and not at all Game of Thrones. And I felt like this entire scene was basically a parody of Game of Thrones to me, simply because the idea that all these people travel out there, someone says, let's pick a king or queen. Then they all just vote within a second. And then they're just like, oh, you're king now. Like, this whole scene was ridiculous to me. And I don't like it. Full stop. There's no way you can try and change my mind. It's not in my mind. And this is the thing. And I hate, like, there's only so many times you can bring up, like, we need more episodes. We need more time. We need longer season, something. But it's like, if that's the answer to a lot of the problems, I believe, then that's the fucking answer to a lot of the problems. Because if they were going to get to this solution of, like, we need to appoint a new king or queen, then the Game of Thrones that I know would have spent more time with all these houses going back and really thinking about it and contemplating with their... the second in commands and their maesters and all that, you know, these sorts of things, like talking about what we should do, what should happen. And then they would have all eventually voted on it. And then maybe we could still end up with Bran. Maybe we had a longer scene with Bran discussing, the possibilities of him, being appointed. Like, even if Tyrion brings him up in this scene, then they still talk about it later. And like what that would mean for the Starks, as a family, what that means for the North. It's an independent country, but then it's been ruled by a Stark in both King's Landing and elsewhere. Like, what's that mean? All these sorts of things. This whole scene, the way it just plays out of all the scenes this whole season, and there's been a lot of them, this one to me is the most rushed nonsense. And obviously I've said there's a lot of rushed stuff happening this season. Some of it I was more forgiving than other things. Like the Dany thing, obviously I would say I'm not unforgiving, because I was willing to just move past it going into this episode. As I said, like, the episode starts, I'm like, whatever, I'm over it, I'm here, I'm settled in. We've got Mad Danny, that's what I'm dealing with, I'm over it. But yeah, getting to this scene, I was like, this is the most rushed scene ever for a show that, when it came to political discussion and like how they go about these sorts of things in a show, has always been very in depth. Lots of discussions about stuff, lots of pacing stuff. And then for them just to be like, you know what? Let's vote on our king or queen in a hot 5 fucking seconds. And yep, you're sworn in. I'll hail Bran. No, doesn't work for me. That's what I'm saying. Once again, like a lot of things I've complained about in this show, it's not Bran as the king I have a problem with. It is simply how we got there. And that's my problem. And if it's the same in the books, Let's say that Bran ends up in the same position in the books.
I think he's definitely going to end up in the same position in the books. I doubt it's going to be completely different.
Yeah. Well, then I would be highly surprised if they play it all out from cutting. Like, the books isn't going to cut from Dany being killed, if that plays out the same, to them voting him in as king, like, literally the next chapter, you know?
No. There's going to be a couple extra sentences saying it 2 weeks later.
More than that, but
I don't know.
But yeah, that's how I feel on that situation, I suppose. All right, so then we cut to John in, and John's also grown a bigger beard. That's also worth bringing up, of course. He's grown a bigger beard too. So Tyrion's talking to John, and he's held up as a prisoner, and Tyrion's explaining that Jon will have to go back and join the Night's Watch as his punishment. That was the only punishment aside from death that Grey Worm was happy to accept, even though Sansa and Arya wanted him freed. But Bran understood that he needed to keep the peace and to get everything settled, and I'm sure he was like, really, Jon isn't going to care too much about that as a punishment. Like, it's like the Night's Watch, what is it these days? Nothing. Really, he sentenced him to go hang out with his friends in the forest.
Wouldn't the wall technically be part of the North? So wouldn't it be under the North's jurisdiction?
Well, there's another point. Exactly. Who the fuck rules that anymore?
So the yeah, so he goes up there, the Queen of the North pardons him, and then we're all good.
Yep. 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 For someone who doesn't like to point out things wrong with the show, you just pointed one out, so good for you.
I mean, I'm just pointing out solutions.
Then, so out at the boats, John walks past Grey Worm, who's death staring him. I can't remember the exact island, but Grey Worm then sets sail for the Missandei? Fucking
Missandei.
Hell.
Missandei. Jeez, she's dead two episodes.
She's dead two episodes, and guess what? I already forgot her fucking name. So he's heading out to her home place that was mentioned in episode two or whatever it was, where two, they said they'd both go there. So that's his whole romantic finale to the show.
Yep.
So then John
kill everybody there.
John heads out to talk to his family for the last time, says goodbye to Sansa, hugs her, then says, oh, you know, Arya, you could come visit me. I'm sure no one would stop you. And then Arya's like, nah, mate. I'm going to head west of Westeros on an adventure because no one knows what's out there. It's uncharted territory. To which I say,
death is leaving Westeros.
Hey?
Death is leaving Westeros.
Oh, my fucking God. To which I say spin off, but I potentially.
Yeah, that's what George R. R. Martin was going to join another series of books after.
Maybe.
Just set on Arya, discovering America.
Yes. So then Bran says goodbye to him as well. And then John heads off to his boat to head out to his watch. Tyrion in the. Then we cut to a scene of Tyrion playing merry-go-round with the fucking chairs, setting them all up.
Well, he's just being a bit, you know, OCD.
Very much so.
He's sat down, he's waiting for everybody, and he's like, yeah. I need all these chairs to be straight.
Yep. And then everyone comes in and fucks them all up.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's supposed to represent, no matter how good you think your plan is, sometimes things don't go the way you seem they will. And that represents Game of Thrones, the last season, everyone.
No.
It's just said to be a joke.
A little bit of a lighthearted moment.
I was reading into it too much. Most lighthearted moment is when I wrote my notes, oh my fucking God, there's Bronn. Because in he walks, the character of the whole fucking season, fucking Bronn. Now, do you want to really tell me that absolute bullshit waste of time scene of him and Jaime was worth it to have him come in and just be like, I'm a lord now?
Yep, totally worth it. Completely worth it. He's Master Coin now. Looking after Highgarden, going to be a great lord on the small council.
He's going to be a terrible lord. That's fan service.
He's got his priorities straight. He wants to make sure the brothels are rebuilt, getting the money back into King's Landing.
I don't really care too much, but this was 100% fan service for Bronn lovers to get him on that place and get him a title and all these sorts of things. Because then Sam comes in and hands over a Song of Ice and Fire to Tyrion, which is apparently now canon.
Did he write it or did somebody else write it?
No, he says Archmaester Ebrose or whatever wrote it.
Okay, yeah.
It's very confusing, I suppose, because you see Sam with the book. You also see, just before this, fucking Brienne writing in a book and filling out.
Writing in the Knights, Book of Knights, whatever it is.
Yeah, the Book of Knights, and filling out the rest of Jamie's history, where she did it. She was rather chill and didn't write. This fucking cunt.
She took the high road.
She definitely took the high road on that one. So it was very, I suppose it could be confusing for people because, like, she's writing in a book, then Sam has a book, and then, he kind of just says, Master, Archmaester Ebrose, or whatever you say his name, was the one who wrote it. He's played, like, I think it's played by, I'd have to double check, I can't remember, but I think it's like Jim Broadbent or someone. Like, from back in the day?
Oh, is the teacher?
Yeah, that's him, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so he wrote the book. And the Song of Ice and Fire, it's a history of... It's basically the show we've been watching, apart from apparently Tyrion's not mentioned in the book or something along those lines, was the
joke. Which, I mean, it's surprising.
Yeah. I felt like... Does this whole... I don't know. I don't think it really matters too much. I'm not trying to be nitpicky, so we don't really need to discuss it. But I personally felt like it was a little bit on the nose to have... The book.
Everybody's saying that.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not really important. It's not like really affecting the episode much. But I'd say it's a bit on the nose, but it's not really important, so it doesn't really matter. Bran then enters the room, and he's first question to his loyal subjects is asking about Drogon, and everyone says they can't find the dragon.
Well, he's asking about the... There's still missing people from the small council.
Oh, yeah. And most importantly, where's the big dragon? They say that they can't find it. Well, I think someone gets cut off by old mate. Goes to say, oh, we last saw
it. Brienne was saying something.
Yeah, last seen whatever direction, and then Bronn's like, who cares? It's not here.
Further away, the better.
Further away, the better it is from us. So then Brienne's like, oh, maybe I can find the dragon. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And so then Pod takes him out of the room.
Pod, he's a knight now. He's wearing the king's guard.
Yeah, he does have the proper stuff on. That was nice. And then Tyrion, Bronn, Brienne, Tyrion. I wrote Tyrion twice here for some reason. And Davos. Was there anyone I forgot from that room? That's it, right?
Sam.
Yes. And Sam. Yeah. Talk. They begin talking about repairs, money, brothels, as you said, et cetera, et cetera. They just basically start doing high council discussion business, even though they've still got to hire three or four more positions, I guess. Yeah. So then we cut to a scene of Jon arriving at Castle Black, and he finds Tormund waiting for him as he heads inside. And then we cut to the episode's final montage. And as I said, I like the final montage because it kind of made me feel better, because up until this point I wasn't angry, but I was kind of like, I honestly feel like the episode was dragging for me towards the end, because I was just like... No, like this whole scene with Tyrion talking to Bran and all these sort of things about like, where's the dragon? I'm like, why are you, I don't know, like, are you hinting at stuff just to be weird, or are you hinting at like, where's the dragon? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That could be a spin-off series.
No, or I think they were just sort of setting up what the council's going to be like going forward. You know, how it's pretty solid, pretty good. Things looking better.
Good. But then also, you know, Tyrion says to whoever... John, about the whole, like, come ask me in 10 years if everything's okay kind of thing. So the show does a lot of, like, we've broke the wheel. You know, like, Bran's in charge now. But at the same time, you have lots of stuff with Tyrion being like, but is it? Like, come ask me in 10 years if everything's better. Maybe. Hopefully it's better. We'll find out. But yeah, the final montage I felt was quite good. So, you know, the main theme starts playing, dun, 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 build up, and we cut between a whole heap of different shots of the Starks. I found it interesting that the show would basically end its final ending montage and scenes basically says that Starks were the main characters this entire time.
Going to rule the world.
And going to rule and basically ruling the world, which is interesting because I never thought the show was about any one particular character. Like, we thought it was about the Stark season one, but then after that, I guess my mind has always been the show's about...
They tricked us. We were right all along.
Characters, but yeah.
We were right at the start and they come back to think otherwise,
It's about Starks and the whole time. Nonetheless, Arya is on a...
Sansa? Aren't all four of them main characters in the books?
Yes.
Like, point of view characters?
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't. I'm sorry. I'm not complaining. I guess, you know, because it's after season one where Ned dies. In my mind, I was like, don't get attached to any particular character, and just from that point on, just looked as Game of Thrones, as there wasn't one particular star or hero. It's like Dany, Tyrion, whichever Stark we're following. You know, like Jon, Arya, whatever. They're all just like, they're on equal paths of interest of this show. But then the show's ending montage very much says, the show is about Starks. Like, our ending montage is showing you the Starks. They're the heroes of the story. So Arya is on a boat headed off for the mysteries of the West. And it's worth pointing out that she does have the flag of the Starks up. So she's leading a house representing and stuff. So she's not going off as a nobody. She's going off as a Stark to find out what's happening. And yeah, I would 100% pay and watch that spin-off, just saying, but I am an admitted,
maybe it's in the works.
I would like
two other shows.
Yeah, they've said there's several. Even George said like a month or so ago there was like six, I think, being worked around. Doesn't mean there's going to be six shows. It just means they have six ideas that they were shuffling, I think, or something like that.
Well, one of them's Andrew Kirkman.
Yeah, one of them is got cast as well. They've got people working on that one, but then the other ones don't know.
No. What's it? Name your Watts one.
Yeah, that one. and other people. I'd have to look it up, but don't know. That one's supposedly a prequel. But if they want to do an Arya spin-off, say even if it's not like till 5 years from now or something like that.
Just a
mini-series. I would watch it because Arya was always my favorite character in the show. And I think Maisie Williams really grew into that character and does action scenes really fucking well, as proven this season. And I'd watch her going around just discovering what
taking
happens.
Death to the west.
Well,
of Westeros.
Let's not say that because it makes it sound like she's going around. Like, we could just have her, but like
Bungie she is the god of death. Let's move.
No, god damn it. So, and then we also get Sansa walking through Winterfell, and she's cheered on. Everyone's cheering. You know, Queen of the North, Queen of the North, Queen of the North. She's got a fucking kick-ass white costume on. Looked really cool.
Sweet costume. So
that was good. It's really good to see Sansa end up there. I wouldn't say I feel like Sansa got shafted this season because I don't feel like she got shafted. She's the queen of the North by the end of the season and she's independent. So her character, all in all, is obviously good. I would just say I wished I had, there was more episodes for more time with Sansa because out of all the characters, I feel like she's definitely one of the ones that's had to go through the most shit and has come out on top of it. So I would have just liked a little bit more time with her, but I'm so
happy. It's kind of like all the Starks, really.
I guess, yeah. I'm happy to see where she's ended the show for sure. And then John finally pets fucking Ghost.
Yeah! They set up that shot of him not petting Ghost so they could have this shot at the finale where he pats Ghost.
Well, that less dragon would be happy. They're like, there was no dragon after the half an hour mark so we could afford to have John pet Ghost this episode.
Yeah.
That's how we had to work all that out. So, yeah.
See, the dragon was going to, like, breathe fire everywhere. They cut that so that John could
fucking hell.
Ghost at the end.
Just comes up on the screen. For story reasons, we had to change what's happened so you can see John pet Ghost later in this episode.
Yeah,
so that's good. He pets Ghost. Ghost has looked a bit more fucked up than he had previously, right? Was I just not remembering? Looked like he was missing an ear or something. Was he missing that
ear
before? He
was missing an ear.
Was he missing it earlier, though?
Yeah.
I also don't remember.
He was so not in that episode, not getting patted, that you didn't notice.
I was so angry that I didn't notice, yes.
Just filled with rage, your eyes.
Yeah, I was. So then John heads out south of the wall with all of the wildlings. North of the wall, and the gates close behind him, and then he heads out. What's he doing? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. I guess he's just going to go live his life.
Spin-off.
His friends and
Adventures in the North.
Spin-off. Yeah, I don't need that spin-off, to be honest. But, fades to black, credits, the end. That's the end of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Any final words? Because then I want to go over our prediction results. Do you have any final words about the ending, the montage, the way it all wraps up? Do you think it was...
I'm surprised it finished as happy as it did, you know?
Yeah.
That was the only thing.
Did you think it was going to have an unhappy ending or just like a medium ending?
Well, like a somber ending, I guess.
But, I don't think the ending was particularly happy, to be honest.
I mean, if you're following the Starks, then yes, it kind of was.
I guess.
Except they're all separated again.
Yeah. Like, obviously, Arya's heading off. She's okay. Sansa's Queen of Winterfell. Yeah, sure. Jon's back to where he started, basically. Well, it's not. It's arguable that he's obviously he is and he isn't. Like he's back there, but obviously things are way different and so on and so forth. But it's like, Danny's dead. All these things, fucked up things happen. I would say the ending isn't happy. I'd say it's somber. I guess.
Thank God he didn't crack a smile right at the end. I'm very happy that he kept like a stoic face. You know, that would have been a bit. That would have gone over the top a little bit too much.
A little bit too much. Go over the top. Yeah. Don't want to go over the top of the show. But yeah, I like the Danny montage stuff. That was good. All right, predictions results to see who did the best and worst of all of us here.
Can we just say a lot of people lived?
A lot more people
lived. The build up around this season, everybody's going to die.
I'm just going to say.
Not many people did.
Going through, I'm not going to say the result because obviously if you watch the show, you should not know. I'll just say if. We got it wrong, or right, or whatever. So, for the alive, dead, or White Walker, Jon Snow, I got it wrong, you got it right. Sansa, we both got it right. Arya, both got it right. Bran, we both got it wrong. Cersei, we both got it wrong. No, right, sorry. I marked that one incorrectly. Jaime, both got it wrong. I marked that one correct.
Yep.
Tyrion got it. I got it right. You got it wrong. Yep. Daenerys, we both got it wrong. Yara, I got it right. You got it wrong. Theon, both got it right. Melisandre, sorry. Fucking saying these goddamn M character names wrong. We both got that wrong. Jorah, right. The Hound, wrong.
Wrong.
Jesus, this whole thing's fucked, isn't it? Jesus Christ. I really should have done it not drunk. I mean,
should have double checked it.
Sam, push for time. Samwell Tarly, we both got it right. Gilly, both got it wrong. Lord Varys, I got it right. You got it wrong. Brienne of Tarth, I got it wrong. You got it right. Davos,
yep.
I got it right. You got it wrong. Bronn,
yep.
Both got it wrong. Podrick, both got it right. Tormund, both got it wrong. Grey Worm, both got it wrong. Gendry, I got it right. You got it wrong. Beric, both got it right. And then Euron, I got it right. You got it wrong. Now, yep. The only thing good that works out with that whole, I stuffed up a couple there, is we were even on both of them, so the overall scores of who wins isn't going to be affected here at the end of it. But, so that's fine. For the bonus questions that we did, does John ride a dragon? I said yes, you said yes, we've got it right. Does Arya kill everyone on a list? We both said no, so that's a right. Was time travel a plot in this season? I said yes, got it wrong. You said no, you got it right.
Man, I had a great idea of, imagine if this episode had started with Bran traveling and then telling John, I know how to time travel. I've got an idea. We'll go back in time and fix everything.
Everyone on the internet would have been
time heist.
Everyone would have been so much more happy on the internet, I think. How many dragons are alive in the final episode? I said zero, so I got it wrong. You said one, you got it right. Do any past dead or other cast members return in this season in one way or another? We both said yes, so we both got that wrong. Who wins in Clegane Bowl?
Oh, you specifically, was it specifically dead characters?
Yeah.
Okay, then, yeah.
Yeah. So that's why there's another one here where I'm like, the way the question was written was leaves up for the debate. But it's like, I'll say, like, who wins Clegane Bowl?
The Hound.
It doesn't affect the overall score, but that's why I put it in yellow on the thing, because I'm like, we both said the Hound, so we're either both right or both wrong or both. There's no right or wrong. You know what I'm saying? Either way, it doesn't really affect the overall score. But who won? You could argue the Hound won. You could argue that it was a tie.
The Hound delivered the blow.
I guess. Who sits on the iPhone at the end of the final episode? We both said Danny, so we both got that wrong. And then the bonus, any shoot-in stuff for a prequel series? We both said no, so we both got that right, if I've marked that incorrectly. But that was the other one I was going to wonder, because I'm like, if that question had been changed to any, like, if you read that question differently as, like, any stuff in the final episode that potentially hints a prequel series, then the answer would be potentially. Maybe. You know. So, but it says prequel series, so no.
No.
Don't get it right. Luckily, with all my fuck-ups there, which I apologize for, it wouldn't affect the overall ranking, which is that I win by 2 points ahead of you, however it ends up. I had it at 17 out of 35 and you at 15 out of 35. Now I'm going to guess it that we're at like 20 something each out of 35, really, I think. But either way, I won by a couple of points. So that's how our predictions went. As with most Explosion Network predictions, really, we did horrible. But I won one for once, which I don't usually, so I'm happy to take a win on something. okay. So, you got any last things before we wrap up this episode?
No, it's been, I don't know what we're going to do now without Game of Thrones. I guess it's interesting after 10 years, I guess.
Yeah, basically.
People have been saying that it's come to an end.
Yeah.
One of these, I would be very surprised if there's a phenomenon like this ever again.
There will be. There's been phenomenons before it. There'll be phenomenons
TV.
Afterwards. Yeah.
On a weekly basis.
Yeah.
In this format.
Yeah. I can see it. No. Let me put past it.
I'd also be interested in seeing the ratings for this episode.
Yeah. Well, yep.
we'll talk about it next week, I think.
Yeah. But we'll have more of these stats next week. So,
like talking, the actual viewer ratings.
Yeah. The viewer ratings. Like,
yeah.
We didn't even have the episode. We didn't even know if the episode name was right. So we don't have access to that information, but for this recording or not. Yeah. Talking about next week, though, we will have one more episode for you next week of South of King's Landing, in which we will go through and discuss each episode again briefly, and me and Ash are going to rank them our least favorite to our favorite episode of season 8, and discuss any other random tidbits that have come up about the season, like potentially the ratings for them and these sorts of things. So that will be next week, and that will be the season finale of South of King's Landing. So we do have Game of Thrones on our minds for at least
another week.
A week more, you know, just no episode, but we've got an episode of this. So
Game of Thrones. This is a documentary next week as well.
Well, we could discuss that.
Yeah.
Lock it in. We just figured it out live on air or live on recording air. We will discuss that documentary next week as well, because I was going to watch it. So yeah, fuck yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us this week on South of King's Landing. You can watch the video version of this show and see our lovely faces, of course, at youtube.com/explosionnetwork, where you should subscribe, like the video, and ring the bell so you don't miss out next episode. Or if you'd rather just listen to the show, it is available on all podcasting services, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and whatever else, Stitcher, whatever else you use. Just search for South of King's Landing or search for Explosion Network, and all our shows will come up, and then you find whatever one you want to click on. You can follow the Explosion Network on Twitter at Explosion Pod, and then you can find all the things I just talked about at explosionnetwork.com, of course. You can follow Ash on Twitter at Ashley Hobby, AshleyHobby, and you can follow me on Twitter at VivaLadil, VivaLadil. Until next week, the North remembers, and they still stand at the end of the show, so I know that that's like still
they're gonna keep remembering.
Yeah, they're gonna keep remembering. All right, boy.